You are listening to the Gate 7 International Podcast, a podcast connecting Olympiacos fans from Melbourne to Baltimore, from London to Piraeus. We are four Olympiacos fans from every corner of the world, bringing you news and interviews of the team you love in English. With new episodes twice a week, you'll never lose the latest updates and stories of the team you love. This is our team, our city, and our land. Me Aoniro Trello. You're listening to the Gate 7 International Podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Gate 7 International Podcast, your official English source for all things Olympiacos FC and Greek football. You're listening to episode number 100. Woo! We made it a long way, people. Thank you to everybody who's been with us along the way. 100 episodes and many more to come. We've got the whole gang here. Costa will be back. He's on holiday, but he's going to pop in for a bit and say his piece. We've got my other co-host, and his name is John Cena. He's invisible. You can't see this man. It's Adi. He's wore a green shirt today to the office, and it was a bit of a mistake, but we do what we can.
Rookie mistake. Sorry, boys.
We've got Lambro as well, and Lambro's got a bit of a change of scenery. He's got the LA Dodgers hat, West Coast bias. Not too far from me, actually, you might say. Indeed. Anyway,
very close.
We've got a bunch of fun stuff in line for today. Some transfer news. We're going to make fun of all the other teams in Greece. Lambro's favorite activity. We are going to talk about Henry Onyekuru. We've got a deep dive from Mr. John Cena over there. And it's going to be a good one. So make sure to tell your friends, get them in on the live before it's too late, before they miss the action. And we'll get right into it here. Adi, tell us about AHEPA.
Yes, of course, guys, as always, defending Hellenism. If you're into it, if you want to meet up with some other Greeks, do stuff to fundraise for small organizations, fundraise for Greece, just to do stuff with other Greeks, check out your local AHEPA chapters. They just had the Supreme Convention in Athens at the Grand Britannia, one of the nicest hotels I've ever seen in my life. Great place, fantastic food. They just finished up. Everybody's coming back home. And the new AHEPA year is commencing. So perfect time for you guys to get involved, meet some people, and do some wonderful philanthropic work.
There you go. Got some comments rolling in already from Dimitris Kritikos. I wish 1,000 episodes. We also wish 1,000 episodes. We really appreciate that. And then another one. Forgive me if I get the name wrong. Valantis Kutrumpanos, Olympia Karake Mono. How did I do, lads? I don't know. But thank you for the messages.
Brilliant.
I like it.
Brilliant.
All righty. Additionally, we will give a word, as always, from Piraeus International. Piraeus International has been helping Greeks ship to and from the motherland during COVID-19. Shipments to Greece are going out from Baltimore, Maryland every month. Fill any large U-Haul box, send it to our friends in Baltimore, and it'll be shipped to the port of Piraeus for only $50. Better yet, fill any large wardrobe box and send it for $100. Give them a call at 410-675-4696 or send an email to sales@piraeusintl.com. We've already got a couple comments coming in from the live. And as we've said in the past, if we get things like Apple Podcast reviews or messages that we like, kind messages or really funny roast messages as well from rival fans who are upset, we'll read them out on the podcast. And coincidentally, for the first time in a while, we do have a couple ones that we like. I believe Adi's got them ready to go. So Adi, I'll just let you take it away.
I do. I have one right here. This was a lovely message left by Angelo_RFC. Again, thank you. I mean, the message was messages like these bring a tear to my eye. They really do. And he said, I wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for this incredible initiative you boys have taken in creating this podcast. You have assembled a wonderful and talented crew. Your passion and consistency is contagious. Olympiacos needed this type of platform. Your coverage is addictive and remarkable altogether. I have been following ever since you brought Peter Philippakos on the show. I randomly typed his name in YouTube because I was curious to know more about him. I was shocked to see how close most of our youth careers up here in North America were very close to this path. I haven't missed a show since. You have to promise me one thing, that you will continue this podcast forever. I can't live without Olympiacos. You reignited my fire. Me oniro trelo. So thank you so much, Angelo.
That's such a nice message.
When we get old, Mihaly Bulubasis will come in and take our place. If he's not playing for Olympiacos, he'll be taking their place.
That'd be even better
if he's playing. And Costa's children as well will come in. Right, we have one more, Adi.
We do, actually. And this one's in Greek. This one's really long.
Do we want to do this one now?
Summarize?
Maybe a summary.
Quick summary.
Yeah, we'll just do a summary. He was giving us praise. One, because we don't spew a lot of crap that he says a lot of the papers spread. We speak our minds, we speak the truth. He can feel our fanaticism, our love for the club. We're doing something fantastic. We bleed red and white. He has friends from the field in Serbia that he's written to about us as well. Even though this is in Greek, or sorry, because it's in English. And basically, he loves what we've done with the page. A lot of that work, the graphic design work, Costa has done a ton of that, and Lambro as well, I know, has done some. So again, guys, thank you for the comments. We do this because we get wonderful comments like this. This one was just really long. It would have taken me probably forever to get through the whole thing.
What was the name of the chap?
Oh, Nikos Benesis. So, Nikos, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And then I think there was one more, but I'm missing it. If I find it, we can always read it later. But we've gotten so many lovely messages, and in particular, the deep dive. Guys, my inboxes were overloaded today. I love so much that everybody gets excited about these. I love the discussions people were having. People were downloading matches of Onyekuru just to share with me their insights and what they saw. I love that. I love talking to you guys about that, whether it's in DMs or on the various social media platforms. Keep it up. This is fantastic. This is the community we wanted to build.
Absolutely. And why don't we get right into some transfer news as well? We don't want to spend the whole time bigging ourselves up here, but Costa, one more thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm on holiday, guys. I really wanted to tune in. I didn't actually know that it was 100th episode today, but I'm extra glad that I tuned in for a couple of minutes. And I just wanted to give big ups to all of you guys, my co-hosts, everybody that's listening. It's such a fucking pleasure. And here's to 100 more. Why not 1,000? We're going to keep this going. And yeah, I just wanted to say a quick hello. I am sweating my balls off. It's 38 degrees over here, even at night. So I'm going to go back outside. Here's my daughter. That's Christina. Say hello. Just say hello. Yeah, there you go. You've got a little smile. So yeah, no, guys, looking forward to the deep dive. I'm going to listen later. Maybe one quick take from myself. My God, the transfers we've made so far, I don't remember a window that's been this good. Escudero, very excited. Ari, you were saying that Vachlik apparently is getting involved as well. And now my daughter's getting rowdy, so I'm going to leave you guys. I am going to the game on Tuesday. I will be going to Athens. And I will be putting videos up live. So you guys, more content on Tuesday, live from Karaiskagi.
Brilliant. Well, Costa, thanks so much for tuning in. Good to see your face. Enjoy the family time and enjoy the game.
You too, guys. Peace out.
All right. Costa spoiled the transfer news a little bit, but the first thing that we want to get into today is none other than Sergio Escudero. He is a 31-year-old Spanish left back. He's coming from Sevilla. His contract has concluded, so he is available on a free transfer. Sevilla have had a couple good left backs come into their team. They had Sergio Reguillon, which was, I believe, 2 years ago. He was their starting left back, came in on a loan from Real Madrid, had a brilliant season, made a big money move to Tottenham in the Premier League. Sevilla promptly replaced him with Argentinian international and starting left back for his national team, Marcos Acuña. So Escudero has been the backup, not necessarily as a result of his own talent. He is a very good player, but he's just been behind some great left backs in Sevilla. So he is looking for a new team. He is officially a free agent. And as we just saw on the screen from Zafer of 05, Escudero has confirmed that he is interested in Olympiacos. So it looks really good. And another thing that Costa alluded to is he is coming from Sevilla, the same team as Thomas Vatchlik. So the two players know each other. And Cotsis, I believe last night or this morning, reported that Vatchlik is trying to lure Sergio into Athens. So guys, I know it's a pretty late breaking story from yesterday, but this one seems really promising to me. Adi, what are your thoughts on the player?
I'm a fan of the player. Now, I didn't, obviously there wasn't much of him to watch last year because he was on the bench most of the time, but when he was the starter, I remember watching him play. The guy is also a Europa League trophy holder. So nothing to shake a stick at. Now, the one thing that we'll have to see, of course, obviously, if we sign him, I'll do a deep dive. But the biggest question will be, can somebody that's used to a high tempo, high possession system with very up tempo, much higher than what we're used to, more time of possession, can he adjust to a little bit slower system, slower buildup, despite being high possession, but less tempo? We'll see. And we'll have more information on that, especially, and another deep dive if he signs.
There we go. Very, very promising transfer, I think. Hopefully we can get that one in.
It's also, it's quite a good transfer for Oleg Rybchuk to learn from. He's a Spanish international, isn't he, as well? Or is he?
I don't believe so, but very experienced player in big European teams. Played for Schalke as well.
And he's played in big European competitions. He's won the Europa League, as Adi said. I think, and he's in the good age profile. Like, he's not too old, like 31, 30 years old. That's good age profile for me. I'm quite happy with that. We'll see what the rumor is and what goes down in the end, but I like it.
Yeah, he's not capped with the Spanish national team.
Could get the Greek passport.
Ooh.
We left back like the one position we don't need. Anyway, So on to the next thing for the day. And people, now is the time. Tell your friends right now. Tell them they can't miss it. You have to tune in right now. It is the deep dive. It's that time of the podcast. We've got Adi. He's got on his invisible shirt. He's ready to dive deep into the waters of Nigeria, we can say. He's looking at Henry Onyekuru, Nigerian international, and former Galatasaray player on loan from Monaco, I believe. We are getting him for 5 million euros is the reported fee. And Adi, I'm just going to let you go. And we're going to see if he's the winger that we have been looking for all summer.
Yep. Like I said, guys, look, I loved all the DMs. Everybody's so excited about this transfer and giving me their opinions, what they saw in the tape. I loved a lot of what a lot of you guys had to say. So, and I hope that the little teasers I gave you held you over for this. And I hope you're not disappointed. So let's get started. So I'm going to start with some of the things I already teased out. Onyekuru is a little bit smaller in stature than I guess a lot of people had imagined. He sits at around 5'9". That's 175 centimeters. So he's about a little bit, maybe an inch or two taller than Bruma, all in all. In terms of his weight, 70 kilos. He actually weighs the same as Bruma. So Bruma was smaller, weighed the same, but Bruma was more muscular. So Bruma had a little bit more of a, we'll say, an imposing physical stature. Onyekuru, as you guys know, speed merchant. The guy's fast. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I did compare his speed, as I mentioned in the teaser, with Bruma. I did my best to compare similar situations. I used a stopwatch to compare. Bruma had him on the edge a little bit, maybe by like a second and a half in similar distance from what I mean, again, this isn't foolproof. It was more eye test type stuff. But he's fast, at the very least, about as fast as Bruma is. So we love that. Positional awareness. In Turkey, he frequently found himself in scoring positions. Similarly, in a manner like Hassan. Hassan finds himself always with the ball at his feet in the box in a position where he can score. Does he score? Absolutely not. But he seems to find himself there more often than not. Similarly with Onyekuru. Now, Onyekuru always finds himself on the ball, multiple attempts per game, especially considering the limited minutes that he's had. So it leads me to believe that he, because of how many scoring opportunities he's found and the number of touches he has in the penalty area, which is significant, almost more than five a game, which is pretty crazy. It makes me believe that that's not an accident. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. He has an eye for where he needs to be in the box in the final third in order to get the ball to score. In terms of his player profile, what he likes to do, he prefers to make runs behind the outside of the outside defender. Now, what do I mean by that? I had a couple questions about that when I did the teaser earlier. I'll explain now. So when the defender is out, you know, we'll say he's closer to midfield or just outside, well outside of his box. Maybe it's in his third, maybe it's in midfield. With their back to the goal, Onyekuru likes to sit on the outside shoulder. He likes to sit right behind there because what he likes to do is drift a couple feet back, wait for the defender to kind of take his eye off of him. And in a situation where maybe Onyekuru's teammate has the ball and is ready to play a through ball, what he'll do is he'll sit there, wait for just a second that the defender isn't noticing him, and then Onyekuru just takes off. Usually outside runs. He'll go outside the other side of the defender and bring the ball in. Now, when he gets the ball, if he's receiving the ball before the defender, so he hasn't beaten the defender, the pass didn't beat the defender, he'll cut inside and he'll take it inside, usually with a layoff pass. He prefers, what he really wants is for you just to send the ball and use his speed to get past the defender. That's the type of player he is. That's what he wants to do. He's a direct winger, so don't expect high crossing volume out of him. In question, about 14,
can I,
15.
Can I ask a real quick question? Defensive positionally, that's one thing like we don't talk about a ton as a winger, but I noticed in some of the big European games, like, did you notice positionally he's decent defensively? Does he track back? Like, what? Did you see anything?
I'll get to that. I have a whole defensive portion of him. I will get to that. We're going to go through the offensive stuff first.
go.
So, in terms of the offensive part with the ball, don't expect him to get heavily involved in buildup. Huge difference, and I'm going to cut through a major comparison between him and Bruma. Bruma was heavily involved with buildup with us. He was averaging over 40 touches a game. 45 touches a game with us, completing 45 passes a game. A lot of volume. He did a lot for us in that respect. Onyekuru doesn't have half of that action. Now, you could make the argument that maybe it's because of how Galatasaray uses him or maybe how Monaco uses him. I don't think that's going to change. And only because even before Bruma got here, when Bruma would play with PSV, he was heavily involved. Pass and move, 1-2s. I don't see a lot of that with Onyekuru. I don't see a lot. I see a guy that just wants to get the ball and cut in, maybe get a shot. He wants to be sent long. I didn't see a guy that was heavily involved with buildup, but we'll elaborate on that later. Low crossing volume, I mentioned briefly before. This guy's a direct winger. This is what Martins has been looking for. We need at least one winger, besides Vrusai, I guess, that can take a player on and kind of make something from nothing. Statistically, so last season he played under 1,150 minutes, 14 total appearances, so he didn't see the field very much. But you guys might be pretty happy with some of the production. 5 goals, 5 assists in those 14 matches in 1,147 minutes. That's pretty impressive. Look, it's not amazing, but it's pretty good. Just something to bear in mind. XG, 5.3, so probably right around where he should be. Expected assists, 1.73. Now, that kind of tells us that maybe some of those passes weren't in the best situations, but hey, goals came from them. So maybe we won't see as much of that moving forward, and his expected assists in previous years is similarly low. So maybe he got lucky this year. Maybe some stuff turned up that didn't. But just something to bear in mind. Either way, it's not bad in terms of the actual execution front. In terms of his shot taking, one thing we all remember, Bruma was horrendous with his shots. He scored. He had a fair amount of goals. Don't get me wrong, but his conversion was shit. If you guys, in the Greek Super League, less than 30% of Bruma's shots were on target. And he had a lot of them, guys. He had a lot, like over 60. So what's 30% of 60, if anybody could do some math for me? Maybe 20 of his 60 18. Shots were on frame. Oh, there you go. Goddamn. Thank you, Peter.
Freaking the human calculator, Peter.
I should have said Peter can't answer. Well, so Onyekuru is a lot better. Onyekuru's 45% with 29 shots last season, 45% on target. We like to see that a little bit better. And his shot is cleaner. So, I mean, forget just the shot. His touch is cleaner. A lot of you guys remember Bruma's first touch when receiving a pass, especially a long pass, was bad. I mean, his touch was so heavy. I mean, the guy literally looked like he had a lead foot. And for those that don't understand the expression, if your foot is made of lead, it's very heavy. So if it's very heavy, that means if you touch the ball, it goes really far in front of you. So he had a heavy touch. Onyekuru is way closer, much, much lower center of gravity than that. In terms of his one-on-one dribbles, you can see that. I mean, he always keeps his feet moving. So when he gets pressured on the ball, You'll see him kind of get, even if it's one or two people challenging him, because he keeps moving his feet, even though they're trying to push him off or stick their leg in for a tackle, he's usually able to keep his foot on the ball because he keeps moving it. So it's something, it's very interesting to see, because a lot of players, when they post up, they'll keep one leg planted while they use one foot to keep the ball and shield the guy off the ball in front and try to do something from there. Onyekuru keeps his feet moving and he just keeps rolling. We like to see that. For one-on-one dribbles, he had 62 one-on-one dribble attempts last season, which is about 5 one-on-ones per 90. So that's pretty high. He likes to take people on, which is what you want out of a inside winger, a one-on-one player. Quick feet, as better first touch, like I mentioned earlier. He is always going to use his speed, though, to beat other players. 9 times out of 10, that's what he's doing. And he's pretty effective at it, almost 57% in terms of his total dual dribble one-on-one win rate. So that's pretty good. I will say this, though. In possession, when he does get involved in possession, he does have a tendency to hold the ball a little bit too long. He'll get stuck getting closed down by one or two people when he has a couple guys moving. And a quick ball to them spurs the transition, the counter, or the attack in the opposing third. That I'm going to be a little wary of, because at the very least, Bruma would keep the ball moving. His touch might have been shit, but he kept the ball moving. And Bruma with 1-2s was really good, probably because of all the time he spent in the Netherlands. Onyekuru, it's difficult to tell because he doesn't get himself in a lot of situations like that. And the situations he does, he holds the ball kind of long. In terms of strength in transition, like I said, Onyekuru's strongest time is when he is in stride and you get the ball to him. If you can get the ball to him in transition, boy, is it dangerous. Something almost always happens. And in Turkey, he did it quite frequently. Almost 3 progressive runs per 90. For those that don't remember, a progressive run is when a player that has the ball takes meaningful distance forward with it. So basically, you have to get the ball forward at least 15, 20 meters to be considered a progressive run. So it has to really go forward, and he loves it. And I mean, he goes out of there like the bat out of hell. That's how he's like when he gets the ball and he's moving forward. Love it. Defensively, this is what Lambro's been waiting for. He's pretty good closing players down when he has the opportunity. Almost 60% win rate. Love it. Now, most of the time, even though he does track back, he'll do it. He's willing to do the work, which is Martins' number one thing. That's probably why Martins likes this guy, because he tracks back, first and foremost. But most of his wins and most of the recoveries, the interceptions that he gets, are in the opposing third when he's pressing. So this is where he's the most successful, is pressing the ball and retrieving the ball from that. He will track back, but we don't see the same success when he tracks back as when he's on the press. There is probably some broader context in there. I just didn't see it. I just saw that when he was winning the ball, it was usually in the opposing third, not in our end. He does come back. He becomes the body, but he's not going to be the guy in our end of the field that wins the ball. But he is the guy on the press that will do it, which is good. We need this. We like having somebody that can apply pressure like this along with guys like Mahdi or along with guys like El Arabi or some of our other wingers like Masuras. Now we can employ a pretty good high press. something to bear in mind. Now, I've given you guys an idea what kind of player he's like, what his buildup is like. In terms of his passing, pure passing, again, another thing we had with Bruma, his close control, I shouldn't say close control, his close quarter passing, so we'll say 5 meters, 1-2 touch was pretty good. But Bruma's long passing and maybe his vision, per se, turned out not to be so good. Onyekuru's the opposite. His close passing, well, close passing, I don't have enough data to tell you because he doesn't do it enough. He doesn't get involved a lot in that close quarter buildup. But what he does get involved a lot in is if he's on in stride with the ball, playing a through ball for his striker that's running, maybe a midfielder that's coming in or another winger. The football IQ is there for that. He had a remarkable number of through balls and smart passes, a lot of shot assists. So I like what I see in that respect from him, but it's getting to that point. That's the problem. So before I wrap things up, pass accuracy wise, I know a lot of people were concerned that like his pass accuracy is horrible. He's no worse than Bruma. In fact, his career pass accuracy is 81%. Last year, it was 79%. Guys, Bruma was also 79% with us when he played with us. So Bruma's pass accuracy wasn't much better, especially with the long balls. So no reason to be freaking out if we're comparing him to Bruma. Now, all in all, you have a guy here that's probably not going to do what Bruma did. He's not going to assist too much in buildup. He's going to be a guy that we use to open the field up and really take advantage of transition. So is he a Bruma 2.0? A lot of people ask me that. You guys gave me your opinions, whether you thought he was or not. And it's kind of a yes and no, but here's the context. So Bruma is stronger than he is. They're about the same speed. Onyekuru's touch is better than Bruma's in terms of his dribble and close control. On a per minute, per possession basis, Onyekuru is better finishing than Bruma, from what we've seen in the tape. Bruma was injury prone, guys. Remember how many times he got injured just for us? The injury history for Bruma, you could write, it's like a Harry Potter book. It's huge. Onyekuru doesn't have that. So as long as he can stay healthy, I feel like he should give us at least the same production that Bruma did, all things considered. On the press, Bruma was pretty good. Bruma ran all day. So they both will do that. So it's something I think we can expect as well. But one of the most important differences is Bruma had a tendency, and a lot of people noticed this, when he was off the ball running around, Bruma had a tendency to just do all this running and then nothing, he would have nothing to show for it. Lambro, Peter, do you guys remember how many episodes we'd be like, God, I saw Bruma running, but what the hell? How can somebody do so much running and then not do anything? Yeah. That Bruma had that, but that's because Bruma's game IQ was probably not as big. He didn't know where he was supposed to be. The best places, he wasn't good at anticipating what space would open up or where the ball would be.
Question.
Onyekuru. Has, yeah, go ahead.
Does he run like Bambi, like Bruma, like on ice?
No, he does not. He does not.
So his dribbling is better than we hope, huh?
Yes, it is. And you guys will see that when he has the ball at his feet, it is. It looks much better. He's more astute with his positioning and better because he finds himself open. Now, again, we have to see how that translates because I don't know if what we see in the tape is going to translate when every team, except for maybe one, parks the bus. They all park the bus. So he's got to learn how to deal with that. He might not have as much open space as he was used to in Turkey. We'll have to see that. So that's going to be the big question mark for me. Is that transition play going to transition to Greece? I don't know, guys. I hope so, but this is the risk here. So now comes the part that everybody asked me, would you have made this transfer? Now, I know you guys heard a lot more positivity out of me in this deep dive than what I started with. When we first thought we were doing the deep dive, I wasn't super positive. And I am a lot more positive now, but I would not have paid $5 million for this player. So I still wouldn't have paid $5 million. There is a question here from Mitsaras, actually, real quick, or not Mizzata, sorry, Vaskor. Does Onyekuru have the wow factor? Is he going to make the fans go delirious? No, I don't. Not the wow factor, what I consider a wow factor. He has a nice touch and he's got speed, but I don't think he has anything that's going to make you go like, there's no Giovanni wow factor. There's no Galletti wow, if that's what you're asking. Dominguez.
But like Kevin Miralas, I think Miralas, like, I saw him do this one dribble Galatasaray against Fenerbahce. Did you see that one?
Nope.
But you see,
yeah, I know what you're talking about, but he doesn't have that.
Okay.
Miralas had a skill set, like technical skill. He would do step overs. I don't know. One of his favorite moves was that he would roll the ball over with his right and Cruyff with his left back heel and behind his other foot. Do you remember that? Do you remember those moves? He would roll the ball over and completely change direction. Onyekuru doesn't do that, but you don't necessarily have to have that flair to be good and effective. Onyekuru is fast and he's got a solid touch. That's all we need. That's all we want from a winger. The big question for me is, will this transition to a league where all of the teams, except for one, parks the bus against us? That's the question. And actually, in a manner of speaking, they all do park the bus against us. So he may or may not have the space. He may or not have that. Now, but there is one caveat, which makes me a little bit more positive, because this year, we have a very good striker still that is a hold-up striker, El Arabi. So, and what does El Arabi do that also freed up space for guys like Bruma in the past or Vrusai? He draws defenders in and gives them space to run. So it should still work. I think he'll have an impact. I just don't know if he's the 5 million euro impact. Remember, this is 1 million less than we would have had to pay to get Joel Campbell, guys. And Joel Campbell was a more complete player, in my opinion, than Onyekuru is. So that's what it is. I think Onyekuru can find success, especially because Olympiacos is a second chance saloon. We're a place where players like Onyekuru can find their form, become something better than they ever were. That's what our club is. And if he takes this seriously, he works his butt off in training, he could become even bigger than he ever thought possible. But can he transition to a league with more park buses? If he can do that, he will succeed.
I mean, Adi, I'm not, in it put another way, like, forget the league. Who cares about the league? We can win the league playing Lazar every day if we want to. Maybe he will be the type of player that plays better in European games is maybe a thought that I'm having.
Maybe it's possible. There's a there's not enough data because he barely played.
Right. But just like strategically speaking, like we're not going to have people parking the bus against us.
He also has never scored or assisted in Europe in 13 games, I believe.
So, yes, that's also correct. So look, we need a player like him that could take advantage of that space in transition. We'll see. We'll see. Those are my question marks. I don't know what's going to happen. I tell you guys what I see. And if he can overcome this transition and learn how to play around a park bus of a team, I think he'll be fine. I think he will do great things for us. There's a question here from Zafirop05. Is he the player that will be outside the box to cross for the striker to head the ball? No, there's no crossing volume from him. 14 games, 1,147 minutes, 8 crosses. That's not even across a game. It's like a half across a game. So not at all. That's not. Now, he will get on his head on it. He's actually pretty good. When you're playing crosses in, he's pretty scrappy in the box. I think that was one thing I might have forgotten to mention. So you'll see him probably on the end of crosses, but not really ever making the cross unless Martins changes him up habitually. So that's it, guys. That's the deep dive for Onyekuru. I told you it was long, mainly because I wasn't too sure about him. But the more I watched the film, the more positive I was about him.
Adi, I want you to do, so if he's not Bruma 2.0, recent history of Olympiacos players, let's say 6 to 7 years, Do you have any names that you think, like, you watch this and you're like, oh, he looks a bit like Vladimir Weiss, anything like that? No?
Vladimir,
I'm just throwing random names out there.
Vladimir Weiss was, I mean, we have to say Vladimir Weiss was a nice dribbler of the ball. And he was fast, but he didn't pass the ball ever. You're not going to like this, but the closer comparison in terms of play style is more like, it's more like Seba.
Oh, come on. I knew you were going to say that.
But there's a caveat. So take Seba's best season and a little bit more flair with the, like, a better dribbler of the ball, and that's what you have.
I still wouldn't spend $5 million. I agree with
no,
that.
No, I wouldn't.
But we'll see. I mean, it's better than what we have out there right now. So
it's not our money. Also, I always say this. Like, we spent €5 million. I don't give a shit. It's not my money. Yeah. So, but we'll see. I what I really like is no more loans, though. Like, because I feel like,
yes,
you bring someone in, they know they're going to be here. Henry hasn't been on a team that wants him and that he's been on for, like, he's like, oh, the end of this season, maybe.
I don't want to, hold on. Don't get up, guys. When I was comparing him to Seba, it's more about stature and movement. He's not that bad.
Adi, the headline is already written. You just got to give it up at this point.
He is better than Seba. I'm going to tell you guys that. He is a better player than Seba. That's why I said take Seba's best season. His best season. And he still is better than Seba. Better dribbler of the ball. A little bit more astute positionally. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I mean, I still wouldn't have paid $5 million for this player. But this is more of the stature of that. He's a Seba that has better ball skill. Seba wasn't a shitty passer, guys. He wasn't a bad passer. He's pretty quick.
I got a name for you, Adi. Hernani.
Stop.
Do you know, people were so mad when we didn't buy Hernani. I don't know if you remember this. They were like, he was worth it. We had to pay the buyout.
Yeah. Costa, and now he's like in the middle of nowhere. One question for Adis. What about his tactical consistency, pressing and marking? Costa, I don't know if you got the beginning of that, but yeah, he pressing and marking, I think he's pretty good. I brought up the times that he's most successful actually winning the ball is when he's pressing. So his pressing is good. Man marking, I didn't see a lot of set pieces that he was involved in, so that's hard for me to say. But just to give you a frame of reference from the stuff I did see, Bruma's a little bit more physical. Bruma's much better dealing with, like, the pulling and tugging. But Bruma was a stronger guy too. Guys, this guy's taller than Bruma, but weighs the same as Bruma. That should tell you something. But it's not to say that he's bad. It's more like he's just skinny. He's a skinny guy. What do you want me to tell you? Tactical consistency. The IQ's there with his off the ball movement on the offensive end. So, you get there. I think it's there. The IQ seems to be there more so than what I thought before I did the deep dive, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, there must be. Oh, there's a reason why Leipzig bought Bruma, but, like, when Monaco, when Everton buy a player, you hope, you know, they saw something.
Yeah, this is a good point here. Adis P, few good teams get crosses from their wingers anyway. That's mostly the fullback's duty. The modern winger still does cross the ball. Actually, look at a lot of top wingers. When you look at the data from a lot of top wingers in top leagues, they're still averaging almost 4 or 5 crosses a game. This is true in point because now we've specialized with some, whether it's an inverted winger or even any more direct winger, they tend to do more shooting. This is true. This is true. But this isn't why we didn't care about the crossing volume to begin with when we brought this guy in. Zafiropo 5, Henry's still young. If he comes here and plays good, we could sell him for a profit. I don't know how much that profit's going to be with $5 million, guys. I'm going to be honest with you there. He would have to do a lot for us to make a really good profit. The risk is high. It's very high with this type of trade. I'm not going to get into the Adam Unas stuff. I have heard about this. We have a couple sources of ours that we've been talking to in Napoli that have talked to us about various trades, possible trades, and Cash coming in for Mahdi. Guys, I'm just going to tell you some of what we've heard so far. Napoli doesn't have the cash to pay us what we want for Mahdi. It's not happening. We're not getting 15 million. The most they will probably give us is 10 or 12 plus a player. There's been a lot of rumors about Adam Unas from Napoli. He's also a young player. I'm not going to go too much into it until this starts to gain traction. I will do a deep dive. He's another winger attacking midfield type of player. For depth, so from what I've seen, I think he works. He's got some skill. I need to do a deep dive before I can tell you whether I like that trade or not. If it becomes a warmer thing, I will let you guys know.
For the record, was at Crotone last season, played for Cagliari. I have a lot of friends who are actually Cagliari fans from Sardinia, so I can shoot them a message. They've probably seen him play quite a bit. Sure. Also an Algerian international, so but with a French passport. He came out of Bordeaux's academy system, I want to say. And yeah, so that would be interesting. But 12 million for Mahdi Camara, even if you get a player, just like, oh, come on.
Well, that's what
it'd
I was
be
saying,
12 even... million and then like 25%. I want a huge percentage fee if we give him up for like 12. You know
no,
what I mean?
It's going to have to be 12 million. At least 15%. And Adam, I'm going to be honest. Like, there's no way. I don't see the value. Like, he's not a 10 million.
He's flopped. He's flopped since, you know what I mean? Since he's been on like 3 or 4 loans since coming to Napoli. Like, he's just a flop. They're trying to move him on. Like,
yeah. We have a comment from Vascor here. The only thing that will save him from the strict France at Garascaki is the frequency of scoring. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So
just like Bruma, like he plays like shit and then scores a meaningless goal and people are like, oh, Bruma's coming around.
This is a nice comment from Konstantinos. We need a second winger. Masuras is the third. Thoughts on that, taking another winger? Because now we have learned that Šumić is, okay, Atromitos has denied it, but... we may be in the market for another winger. I don't know. Maybe at the end of the window, we take another winger. I would like a 10. We talked about this, who can play on the wing, like Valbuena, but Grenier, I don't think can play on the wing. But like, no, you know what I mean? But like a player who is a classic 10, but can play on the wing. I would really enjoy that.
Well, there's a lot of time in the transfer window, guys. I think names will continue to come up. I don't really like that Camara plus 10 million for Adam Unas personally. As the other guys said, Mahdi Camara is worth a lot more than that. And yeah, I like this comment here. If Camara was in the Premier League, it would cost 50 million for a team to take him. I could see a situation where Napoli buy him and he becomes big and some Premier League club comes in with 50 million euros. So like we absolutely want a percentage of that.
He has a work ethic too, like Manolas, great player, but like the work ethic maybe wasn't so to take the next step to the Premier League team. He almost ended up going to Russia. Like, you know, Camara is going to go shoot to the moon. He's going to come walk into that team and just fight to go even higher. So there could be a big percentage. The one thing stopping Mahdi Camara from being a big money move is he doesn't have a European passport. That's one thing that teams are kind of iffy on. And sometimes players, like I think El Arabi has a French passport, like some of them sometimes have French passports, but I believe he's one of those who does not have a French passport. So some teams will be a bit colder on wanting to spend because they only have those 5 spots in the Champions League for non-European players.
Well, we will provide updates with more information on all of those transfers as they continue. Onyekuru, for the record, is in Greece right now. He hit the airport, had his little photo shoot. I don't think the club has officially announced it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him in for at least one of the 2 legs with Ludogorets. Before we do talk about those games, guys, I think we need to make fun of Ikonatis a little bit, surely, right? Like, is it that time of the podcast? I mean, both of them went out in the first round of qualifying in UEFA Conference League. Close, but no cigar for those. Adi, you got something to say?
Well, Adis, we can say, maybe is like less egregious.
Yeah.
Because Astana is technically a higher ranked UEFA coefficient club than Adis is.
But they finished third in the Kazakhstan league last year, and Adis finished third in the Greek league last year. So
well, I'm not disagreeing with you there. That's why I said sort of, because Astana has.
They have more history in the last 10 years. They have more history in that. But this.
But it still sucks. It's still dumb. Like, they bottled the job in the. I don't know what the hell was going on in the first game. And I was happy. I watched the second leg, the entire thing. Just that was the game I watched. I had no hope for Ike, to be honest with you guys. And they played well. It just, unfortunately, it ended up not working. This would have been the game for that Madzios I would have accepted. Like, oh, nothing went right for us. Not the first game. The first game, you got what you deserved. You guys did not play well. So that's it just sucks because they're choking again. After building JVS's wet dream of a defense, also out the door. Like, ridiculous.
Franjes for the seventh time is not going to save you. Absolutely.
Dude, Sergio Araujo is such a... I'm not going to do it. He's a coat. He is such a goddamn
coat. He's not
going to
save you either. Are you kidding me? The team?
He's like fat and overweight and can't run.
Costa or one of you guys sent in our chat, Gate7 International on Instagram has more followers than the team that I lost to.
Bosnia, yeah, it's bad.
What the hell, man? Like, this team has absolutely nothing.
Also, can I comment?
Did they finish third in Bosnia? Is that correct? Like,
yeah.
It's absolutely pathetic for Mike.
The funny thing is, like, I went to the Servette game that night. Servette FC, let's go, beat Molde 2-0, but got an unlucky red card. Wasn't enough. All 4,000 of us in the stadium. I may become a Servette season ticket holder, so that's heard it here first. But anyway, so I get back, and I see the games are in extra time, and I get home, and I get the Ike game on, and I watch Araujo miss the penalty to send them out. And I was like, oh, shit, that sucks. And then I throw on the Ike's game, and I see, like, the header to kick them out. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks as well. But Ike's have known since December that they need a goddamn striker, and they've not brought in a striker. They're like, maybe we'll do it with Mitroglou. But then when it really counts, they didn't play Mitroglou. So it's like, you idiots, you knew you were going to play European football from January, and you did not buy a striker. Like, why? Now who did they buy? They bought a few nice players like Iturbe, who I think is nothing. But, like, why did you not just buy a goddamn Barrales and be like, Barrales, you want to play European football? Leave Tripoli. And he would say, hell yeah, I want to play European football. Like, is that so difficult to do? You spend like 250 grand probably on a 33-year-old striker who knows how to score goals. Like, I don't know, Peter. Like, they're just like ran kind of good, but kind of shit at the same time. It's like really a hard one. Like, they do something really well.
Both of those deals, it was literally just like, I swear they just did it for like the jersey sales and stuff. Like, Franjes is back. Araujo is back, and it's like
Ike has run like shit.
Have we thought about the actual tactical implications of, like, Vranjes, I guess, but like Araujo makes no sense, and they're just poor, and it's really sad that this is genuinely a top four team in Greece.
This question: would you guys prefer Iturbe over Onyekuru? Absolutely not.
Iturbe's washed.
What's an Iturbe?
But let me just say this real quick, like, Panayotis Kone is getting so desperate, he may sign himself. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. He may indeed sign himself. Just be like, he's like, God damn it, we need help in the midfield. Like, and I've run out of names from 2017, 2018. I'm signing myself. Of course, he was on that team. He was on that
team. The thing that annoys me the most, like, Adis, I was worried about, because I told you guys, I was worried about the moves they were making in the offseason. I did not see a better Adis this year than what we saw last year. I did not see improvement. But Ike, at least, like, it's one of those things where, like, Ike had, like, some of the right ideas. Like, they knew the defense was shit, and they had to fix it. So, like, they made some moves, but the question is, did they make the right ones? So it's like, you guys were on the right track. You just kind of you zigged more than you zagged with those. Oh, well, it's all over for them, and it's up to us and Bach to save the coefficient.
Well, Addis, I like, as Lambro mentioned, they have absolutely fumbled the bag, as I might say. Like, they were in such a good position, looking really strong. They have the fans behind them. The players that they had played hard. They just needed to fill a couple holes, most notably at striker.
Peter, can I cut you off real quick?
Literally just chose not to.
Can I? Olympiacos FC, did you watch those goddamn stadiums? They were basically full. I don't want this bullshit, like 8,000 people in Kariskaki on Tuesday night. Like, I want that shit full. Like, did you see Addis's ultras were literally filled the section? Like, goddamn it, can we do this as well? Like, what is this bullshit about, like, 8,000 people?
The cases
are going up. Okay, Delta variant, we're all scared. We're but
doing
like,
the thing.
If the government says it's allowed, God damn it, allow it, everyone, and just roll with it, because it's so beautiful. Like, and I really enjoyed watching the Addis game because they had so many fans there as well. But anyway, continue, Peter.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say, like, I don't expect much. I laughed when they signed Araujo and Vranjes, and I said, this is funny. This is not a football move. This is a publicity move. I actually thought Saavedras is actually a player that would help Ike. We have to say, as much as we give him crap, that's how poor Ike are at the back. But just a really nothing performance against a tiny team from Bosnia that, to my knowledge, I would guess a lot of those players don't have much experience, if any at all, playing in Europe, although I could be wrong about that. You would expect Ike to be able to score a few goals, maybe a couple goals, but none, alas, not really. Two goals over two legs, if I'm not mistaken. So it's incredibly disappointing. We had said when the Conference League was being introduced that this might be a place for a team like Ike to thrive and make a run. Ike have consistently been playing in Europe for the last few years, but what have they done? They were in the Champions League. They got, what, no points? Any points? They were shit. Europa League last year, maybe 3 points, but they were shit. They've just fallen down. They're tumbling down the hill of Europe. If UEFA makes another European competition, a fourth tier of European cups, maybe Ike will play in that and lose in the first round next year. But more likely, they've got nowhere to go. Nowhere to go but stay the same place, because they're probably, it's just not looking good for them, guys. That's what I say with Ike. Not the right mentality. Their new manager potentially going to get fired after like two games, which is classic Greek football and would be hilarious. But at the end of the day, this fucks us over for the coefficient. It puts all of the responsibility in the hands of Olympiacos and I guess PAOK as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I mean, I guess while we're on it, the outlook for the coefficient is bleak, but there was a silver lining. Technically, Ike did win that game in extra time. So we did get the extra coefficient points. Same thing with Addis, right, guys? They technically won in regular time, so we got the coefficient points. So Olympiacos has gotten 0.5 for the coefficient, and then Addis and I collectively, over the course of four games, gave us another 0.5. So the silver lining here is that so far we've kind of caught up to Turkey. We're literally a game and a half behind them in terms of the coefficient points. So if Olympiacos and PAOK both win their next qualification games and the Turkish teams lose, Greece will catapult over Turkey in the UEFA rankings. Because remember, guys, Galatasaray lost their Champions League qualifiers. So they're all down in European Conference League. Or Europe, one is in Europa League, maybe. I forgot where they ended last year.
Yeah.
But I think they have one in, or they have all their teams now in European Conference League. Or no, one in Europa League, the rest in European Conference League. Because remember now, guys, 15th, the 15th league place no longer gives you guaranteed entry into Champions League. But it does give you that extra team, that fifth team in Europa League. Three in Conference League, one in Europa League. One in third round qualification for Champions League. So we're trying to get up there so that we can get to that easier Champions League qualification spot. And it's just absurd. I mean, Cyprus is starting to fall a little bit again. So they're back down to 16. But Serbia, guys, Red Star Belgrade has literally carried the Serbian coefficient up to 12th. They are going to get an automatic seed in the Champions League at the rate that they're going. Think about it. A Serbian team, teams that have smaller budgets than we do, are going to have an immediate UCL group stage lock if they keep going the way they're going. It's crazy. It's crazy. Greek football should be ashamed of itself. There's a lot that needs to be done from the ground up, not just with the teams in question, but with Greek football, because this will never change. And it could get worse, guys. We thought we were at the bottom. Oh, no. It could get worse.
But, Adi, it's all Olympiakos' fault, right?
Yep. That's the,
dude,
that's the
thing. Mad. I swear, like, they're just so shit. It's unreal. It's just...
like, yeah. For the millionth time, like, those teams winning games in Europe, like, helps us.
But also, just real quick, how insane is Turkey's drop off on like the coefficient?
It's
mad. They got destroyed by PSV, like down a man. PSV was outplaying them in Turkey. Like, Turkish football is in disaster as well. Like, I don't know, we don't need to go into that, but I was like reading a few articles about it, and they keep doing the same thing. Like, Galatasaray brought in Van Aanholt for like 2.5 million euros a season. Like, is that really gonna solve your problem of like conceding 5 goals on the road? I have a gut feeling that they may not even make Europe, like a decent amount of those Turkish teams. So
I mean, they already have, remember, so last season they only got 3 points for the coefficient. That's how bad it was.
Yeah,
the season before was 5, which was relatively low for them. But they, after this year, all their seasons of like Galatasaray getting to group stage and maybe round of 16, I think was 2017, 2018, they lose all that. They're going to drop even further. So it's interesting, the downturn. And then, but in the meantime, for us, you have like the Czech Republic and Switzerland and Serbia that are now moving up the ladder, and they're like just a place or two below the Austrian league, the Ukrainian league, in terms of their European competitiveness. It's sad, guys. Those countries don't have better teams than us. Like, when we play a team from Czech Republic or when we play a team from Switzerland, we expect to beat them. I don't care if it's Basel or Switzerland.
The disrespect.
Think about it. Think about it, guys. If Olympiakos plays Basel, Young Boys,
Servet.
Hey.
I'm just trying to put this into perspective for everybody, because that's how far Greece has fallen. But like, now, there honestly, was a question about whether we're going to lose Champions League football. No.
Never. Never do, right? No, you start from the first qualifying round.
We would end up starting from the first round qualification. That would be pretty much
the worst it would be is if like Gibraltar League goes ahead of us. They have like an extra qualifying round.
They
do. It's like rather confusing. Yeah. It's like Gibraltar and like Kosovo play each other, basically. So like if I could just start accumulating negative points, then maybe that happens. But yeah, basically, every team at least gets some sort of chance.
Yeah. Greek football really needs to go through a change. Like, the Swiss football model is like quite good for a smaller country. Just like 10 teams. They play each other 4 times, I think, and 36 games. It's good. The football's quite good here too.
There's an interesting comment here. It is and is not correct. We have bigger impact than Red Star, but the other Serbian teams go to groups of Europe. It's not only one team. That's not completely true. Last year, Red Star was the only Serbian team in Europe. They were the only ones that made it out of qualification. Partizan didn't make it.
Didn't they make Europa League?
Red Star did.
Pretty sure Partizan like played Man United in Europa League, didn't they?
Did they? I don't
think so. I think it was Red Star was the only Serbian team that made it to the group stage. But they, they won or got a result.
Wrong year.
Okay, I was about to say.
I would have had like a picture of Svetozar Marković playing in Europa League next to my bed, just looking at it like, oh,
yeah. Last year, literally, I mean, in general, in previous years, yes, this is true, because the Serbian coefficient now, they're like above 6 every year, because Partizan and Red Star usually at least get through the group stage and get some results. Red Star last year didn't have a lot of help, but they won like almost every qualification match, both legs, and they won more than half of their group stage. Plus they made it to round of, I don't think they made it past the round of 32. I don't remember. But anyway, they did all of that, and they still had a decent, they still got Red Star, or sorry, they still got Serbia a decent coefficient. So it is and isn't true, but they ended up doing well despite that. And but yeah, they have more help than we do, at least, and it's sad. It really is. This is a good point too by Andrew. Coefficient could change quickly. Scotland up like 13 places in 2-3 years. Yeah, that's true. But you have to have that stained, you have to have the sustained success. And I know most of it was Rangers, but it's not like Celtic rolls over. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Celtic was the more bigger team in Europe, though. Like they had beat in the past, Barcelona and like whatever.
Yep.
But real quick, should we move on to previewing Ludogorets real quick? Because this is our last episode. So we can go on about football problems in Greek football. Like, honestly, Servette FC season ticket holder, Swiss football. Yeah. I'm seeing it up close and personal. It's good. And honestly, Servette, I joked with these guys. I was at the game and I was right down on the line. Gael Clichy is still a gun, guys. If we don't get Escudero, 36-year-old Gael Clichy may be available from Servette. It will be a tough pull, but he's a good player. Anyway, so Ludogorets, we're going in. We haven't really looked at anything about them. I don't know if any of you, I haven't. All I know is they have Kirill Despotov, one of my favorite players from Football Manager. We won the Champions League together, and I unfortunately sold him to China after that year for 30 million euros. Kirill, you live on in my heart, but we got to kick you out of the Champions
League. Didn't they just get him? Wasn't he a summer signing?
Yeah. He was in Serie A last year, I believe.
1.5 million or something like that. That was their biggest move, big money move. Yeah, and they brought in a couple. They brought in a center back from Spain, from Alaves. Don't remember his name. I just remember they brought somebody in. Then they brought another one. They brought a couple center backs. They've the defense has been bolstered. They didn't look bad. They didn't look bad last game. I still would say in terms of the quality, I still think if everybody's healthy and available to play, we have more quality than they do. And the expectation is that we win. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, of course not. It's not going to be, because we still have some issues we're dealing with in the squad, and we don't know if that's going to get cleared up. Ludogorets so far, their last European games against Mura, they were playing a 4-3-3. So I think we can expect to see that. The midfield was Vanderson, Baji, and Santana, Alex Santana. So the midfield is decent. Their midfield isn't bad.
This is a really good comment as well. Costa was just talking about it. I don't know if you guys caught him earlier. It is so hot in Greece. It's like 46 degrees Celsius some
heat
days.
Wave.
Like it's a massive heat wave. And
big heat wave.
As Mitsaras brings up, it's going to be really hot Tuesday night, even with Greek standards. This is a topic to discuss. This team's coming from Bulgaria, which is not super hot, I want to say. Like, it can get warm in the summer.
It can, but elevation.
But it is going to be killer. There's going to definitely have to be like some water breaks or whatever, so the team may be a bit.
Oh, it will. If it gets above 30 Celsius, you have to have a water break.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, like, those, a sub package of like Vurusa. I remember, I always think back to the PSV game when he threw on the late subs. You remember that? Like a 3-sub, 75-minute. Pedro Martins loves that. So if the guys can make it to like 75-minute, Pedro Martins may put like the foot down and go for the jugular and like see if they're tired. That's something that can come up. So thank you for bringing that up, Mitsaras. Yeah, if people didn't realize, it's super hot in Greece this week and all of Europe.
Yeah. A couple other notes about Ludogorets. The Bulgarian league has actually started already.
Yep.
They played two matches and won both pretty resoundingly, which you probably shouldn't be surprised about given that they are the Bulgarian champions, but they did pick up a 3-0 victory over CSKA Sofia.
Which is interesting. There's two of them now. I don't know if there's been like a fan switch off, but there's a CSKA Sofia that we know that's quite good, and they played the bad version. I don't know the history.
The 1948, CSKA 1948.
Yeah.
So like, they played two games, and then they also played Lokomotiv Plovdiv and won 3-1. So
they've got a couple more games under their belt, for better or worse. Maybe that helps get the new signings, get some running under their feet. Additionally, fun fact about Ludogorets, they have a center back whose name is Josue Sa. So hopefully that's not like a bit too soon.
too soon. God damn it. But also, anyway, they have the Cypriot kid we were linked to a long time ago.
Sotiriou. He scored in the first leg.
I remember when we were linked to him. I was like, this guy's a gun. I want him so bad. And he's like played in Kazakhstan for Astana, I think, as well. Right. And done like not much.
He did
much
play one game for Astana, but he scored. To be fair to him, he scored in their last game. So,
okay. So
maybe he's going to have a revival.
I don't see him on the team sheet for the game they played in the weekend. So I don't know if he picked up a knock or something. But anyway, we're just going to have to see, guys. We couldn't find, or we'll keep hunting for someone who could talk about Bulgarian football maybe for us, maybe do a quick YouTube short, but it's quite difficult. Like, especially it was quite difficult to find Patrick to talk about Neftchi, but we'll hunt for maybe a Bulgarian journalist maybe to talk about team.
The important thing that you guys, the limited film I did watch, the important thing is, if we have some of those mistakes that we made in the first leg against Neftchi, right? Leaving some guys open, letting some really nasty counters happen. We were lucky. Neftchi didn't have a lot of players of quality. They had like one or two that were decent, and then the rest were, let's be honest, they weren't that good. Ludogorets has, this is a team that, although our caliber is higher, they're not a joke. If we give them those opportunities, they are going to finish one. Okay, so this is something we have to be a little bit more mindful of, because this is a team. Okay, it's the Bulgarian League, you know, for whatever that's worth. But the Bulgarian League is similar to the Israeli League in coefficient, and we've bitten it against Israeli teams in the past. So remember that. Not a joke. These guys have a pretty solid midfield. They work the ball decently in their league. They dominated against Mura, whatever that says. But we're going to have to take it up a notch, and we're going to have to take this seriously. We're going to have to take it like we played in the second leg, not in the first leg. If we played the first leg, don't be surprised if we go down 1-0 going into the second match.
Looking to use Semedo.
I want that second. I want second leg Semedo. Exactly. I want that. Can we have that all goddamn season? Where the
3-4-3? Yeah, that was really good. We talked about this.
Have you ever seen him motion and yell at people so much? He was like, you just saw him moving his hands, talking.
It's because they gave him the captain's armband maybe as well. Like, Pedro was like, you're the captain, baby, like, go for it. I don't know.
Pedro definitely said something to him.
Yeah, Pedro, I think, had a talk with him. But 3-4-3, what are we thinking? 3-4-3, Henry.
To be honest with you, Lavro, I have no idea who's playing. Look, absolutely no idea.
I have no idea. I haven't heard anything as well.
We should be seeing a squad list soon, though. No, the game's on Tuesday.
Yes. We should be.
Oh, yeah,
but,
tomorrow.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
If some of the issues within the team, injuries, COVID, whatever it might be, if it hasn't cleared up, we have to go 3-4-3, right? Because right now, the healthiest.
I don't give
core
a shit. We have to go
3-4-3,
no matter what. Yeah. I don't want to see 4-3-3 bullshit. And I really want to see Markovic, Ba, Semedo again, like Socrates.
Yeah, it was great.
Coming off of COVID, I don't know if we want to.
We have to right now. Some of our best players right now, the players that are healthy and the best ones, are our center backs. So you have to play with what you've got.
Right,
back three, because that's right now who we've got that's fit. That's who we've got that's not hurt or sick, and they're strong. Let them work. We have two ball playing center backs, guys. We have two. Markovic is a godsend. Have you guys been watching Ted Lasso? We have two aces. It's fantastic. You have to do that. Yes. I just saw it. Where's the Cisse comment? Yes, Zafirop. Cisse left back. That is the meta. Let's do it again. Just do it. You know what? It worked once. Let's see if it happens.
Right, he's a huge player. And
boom.
It's with the Henry news. Like, I literally, you guys know I troll the newspapers. Like, there's been no news about healthy players, who's knocked up, Andrutsos playing. Exactly. Like, there's been nothing in the newspapers. Like, it's very not clear. I'm sure tomorrow we're going to have a press conference as well. And Pedro will do that thing where he did in the one press conference where he's like, blank is not available, blah, blah, blah. So that will be very interesting. Jan Envia may be available. We'll see.
Maybe.
But Koundé Camara, maybe. And then like up it. Top, you have to start El Arabi. Hassan cannot start Tuesday night. I can't do There's it no way.
Yep.
And you cannot start Rangelovic at all and under any circumstance as well. So Valbuena, Masuras, I would assume is the.
What do you guys think the odds are that Henry plays? Probably doesn't start, but. Do you think he's going to be able to get
second leg? Maybe first leg. There's no way they've run him out in 2 days.
They can't even put him on the European list.
Yeah. They're going to register him. That's why they're rushing it tonight.
Oh,
the signing's gone official tonight. They're announcing it, I'm assuming, tomorrow. But like, they're adding him
based on the European list for him.
Indeed, they did.
Oh, how about that? That's why Čubić wasn't on there, and he's probably getting that loan because of. That I'm not going to get into that. That bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, Čubić. It'll be interesting. Čubić play all year in Greece, though. Athromitos is like a decent team. Like, didn't they sign Klonaridis too? Like, that's decent wing play. Klonaridis and Čubić on the wings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible.
No, not at all. I think we're going to get that lovely start again from our young goalkeeper, Čolaki. He's going to be the hero.
Really? You think so? Maybe they.
No, I don't think so. I was just doing it because I know you like Christensen better.
Just Čolaki's distribution is so shit. Like, it scares me sometimes. But his shot stopping is top. Like, he played great.
It's the confidence.
And he emits confidence as well, though. But, yeah. Like, not with the ball at his feet. But, like, he seems vocal and he seems decent. Like, yeah. But just, yeah.
Well, good experience, guys,
if anything.
We are going to wrap up the podcast for today. It's been a bit over an hour, so thank you very, very much for sticking with us and watching, especially if you've made it this far. Thanks to everyone who jumped on the live and gave us some nice comments. We really appreciate it and love to see it. We hope you'll be back next time. We'll be coming in and doing a pod after the game. And 100 episodes, people. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary of the podcast as well, which is really exciting. So we're going to just continue pushing stuff out. And we hope to have you along for the ride. Make sure to leave a like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Follow us on our Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want to do, @gate7intl for some good tweets and updates on the team. We do a lot of activity over there, and we love to interact with people as well. So if you leave a comment or send us a DM, we'll be sure to reply. And we're very excited for football to start ramping up here. It's going to be a couple of really exciting games against Ludogorets. The transfer window is hot, and we are sure that we'll have a lot of exciting stuff to tell you about in the coming weeks. So thank you so much again for listening. Have a great rest of your week. And Nombro's got one more thing for us.
I have one thing. I'm sorry to cut off. Everyone go like, subscribe, everything, as Peter said, and there's going to be more talk about this guy. Welcome, Henry, my young king, ready to lead us to glory. We're all behind you now, big fella. He's ready to go. And don't forget, everyone, we'll be back, as always, Tuesday night after the game. I think it's at 10 p.m. kickoff Greek time, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon West Coast U.S., 9 o'clock Central European time. And that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Enjoy the game. We'll see you afterwards.
You just listened to an episode of the Gate 7 International Podcast, a podcast connecting Olympiacos fans from Brussels to Tokyo, from Toronto to Geneva. We are 4 Olympiacos fans from every corner of the world, bringing you news and interviews of the team you love in English. With new episodes twice a week, you'll never miss out on the latest updates and stories of the team you love. If you liked what you heard, make sure to follow us on social media at @gate7intl. Give us a subscribe on YouTube or even leave a review on all our podcast channels. Until next time, this is our team, our city, and our story. Thrilos ise, sto mialo kati magiko.